Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pick and Pop podcast in association with Pick and Roll and Zoom TV. I'm Christopher Tyler, and on the line with me is Lockie Frantz, a writer from pickandroll.com.au. Lockie, welcome to the show.
Thanks, mate. Great to be on.
Now, Damien and I have spoken for the last couple of weeks on the Pick and Pop podcast about how exciting it is to finally be in March. March Madness is finally here. It's championship week as we speak, and the NCAA tournament begins next week. And a lot of the time we speak about the men's side of the competition, which a lot of people are over, all the Australian men that are playing in Division I college basketball. But we want to talk about today all the women that are doing terrific things from an Australian point of view, all these Div 1 girls who are doing a fantastic job, and there are plenty of them. And the first one that we want to start off with, Lockie, is a girl that I reckon a lot of readers of pickandroll.com.au would be familiar with, and that is Christy Wallace, who is it plays for a Baylor side that is tipped to be a number one seed come the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, well, Christy has had an unbelievable season. So last season, she lost the starting spot towards the end of the year. This year, she came in and she started all 33 games for Baylor this year. She's put together as many assists this year as she did in her first two seasons combined, and she absolutely tore it up in the conference tournament. She finished in double figures in points in two games, averaged 7.5 assists throughout the week, and pretty much she just runs the show for them. They got beaten, unfortunately, by West Virginia in the final, which was a huge boil over. But Christy earned a spot in the all-tournament team, and really, without her, that team is probably a three-seed at best.
So this is what we love. We love talking about teams like Louisville on the men's side that has guys like Deng Adel and Mango Mathiang who not only contribute for that team but play a starring role. Christy Wallace is very much the same mould for a Baylor side who is a one seed or should be a one seed come the tournament. The next player that we want to have a look at is similar to Christy Wallace again, and that is Alana Smith of Stanford, who are picked to be a two seed.
Yeah, so Stanford actually won the Pac-12 tournament, and it was really on the back of Alana's play. Kind of eased her way into it. She had 8 points in a big victory for Stanford over Washington State in the quarterfinals. They won that one by 30. And then she just had the 5 points in a 15-point win over Oregon in the semifinals against but Oregon have got a few Aussies as well. But then in the final against Oregon State, who number one seed for the tournament, one of the best defensive teams in the Pac-12. Alana scored 18 of Stanford's 48 points in a 5-point win where they came back from a 13-point deficit in the opening quarter. They held Oregon State to just 21 points in the final three quarters combined and just rolled over the top of them in the fourth quarter. It was absolutely amazing to watch, and Alana was at the centre of everything.
She's clearly not afraid of the big stage, and she's left her run to kind of the right time of the year. She started off the season a little bit slowly, but in the last couple of weeks, she's really hit her straps, and she's saving clearly her best games for the biggest moments.
Yeah, like she only had two double-figure games in the first half of the season, and then 10 double-figure scoring efforts in just the last 19 games. Stanford had another big player, Kaylee Johnson, go down with injury, which saw Alana get a few more minutes. And I guess she's just riding the confidence, even with Kaylee Johnson back, Smith still playing big minutes and doing big things for Stanford this season.
So how important do you think Alana Smith is to the success of Stanford coming into the tournament?
She's going to be massive. She just adds that extra dimension. She can do a bit of everything. You saw in the game against Oregon State, she was shooting that little mid-range, which was forcing defenders to sag off her a bit, and then she'd just take them off the dribble and go to the hole, and that was a big part of how she got those 18 points.
Now let's move over and look at the next team that we want to touch on today, and that is Oregon. And let's take a breath while we read out all the names of the Australians on this roster. Jacinta Vandenberg, who, is she the sister for Jordan Vandenberg?
Yes.
Former NC State player?
Yes.
And we got Morgan Yeager and Megan Trinder as well. Unfortunately, Megan is injured for the rest of the season, so she will not take part in the tournament. But Oregon is another team that we should certainly look out for, Lockie.
Yeah, so they're a team nobody wants to get matched up against. They're picked to be an eighth seed, but they knocked off Washington in the quarterfinals, who have got the national, Washington's got the national player of the year, Kelsey Plum, all-time scoring leader, and Oregon managed to knock them off in the quarterfinals before going down to Alana Smith and Stanford. The Aussies, they're not getting as much of a run as some of the others. I mean, as you said, Megan Trinder's out injured for the season. She's done her ACL for the second time, unfortunately. Jacinta Vandenberg, she's playing a bit off the bench. She's really taken on more of a mentor role this year. They've got a lot of young bigs who are amongst the top freshman bigs in the nation. And Jacinta's really mentoring them through their first season and playing a bit of a role off the bench. Morgan's had a few minutes here and there, but I don't think she'll play that big a role in the tournament. But she's shown in her time on the court this season that if she is called upon, she can really make an impact if need be.
How much of an Australian pathway does Oregon have? We see that we've got three Australians on their roster currently. Is this one of those situations where Oregon has had a lot of Australians in the past, or is this kind of a coincidence where it's all kind of happening at the once?
Well, they have had Aussies in the past, but this this set is more based on who the coach is. So the coach at Oregon now, Kelly Graves, he was the Gonzaga coach when he brought Kelly Bowen over. She was his first Australian recruit. Right. And Jacinta Vandenberg actually transferred from Fresno State, another school with a lot of Australians.
Right.
So Morgan Yeager came in. Kelly Graves recruited her at Kelly Bowen gave the recommendation to recruit Morgan Yeager. So the school link is there, but it's more based on the coach now.
Well, that's good. Let's hopefully that they can continue their decent form, and hopefully we can continue that pathway and create Oregon as kind of like a St. Mary's or even an Eastern Washington of the women's side. So let's hope that that can happen on the women's side. Let's move over to Dayton with Madeline Dennis, picked to be a 10 seed in the tournament. How do you see these guys going?
So they pretty much strolled their way through the Atlantic 10 all season, only three losses in conference play. Another team you don't want to really face in the first round, whichever seven seed gets them is going to be sweating a bit. They're just one of those teams playing the Atlantic 10. It's a good conference, but they're sometimes tough to get a read on. Those teams, I guess, it's the same in the men's game. Maddie Dennis, look, she gets minutes here and there. She didn't play a lot in the conference tournament, but she had 12 points against Duquesne, who were the conference runners-up in a regular season game. So, I mean, if she gets called upon, the evidence is there that she can step up for them if they need her.
Now, the next team we want to have a look at, and we're not used to, supporting this side, because if we look in the men's side of the bracket, obviously we've got that St. Mary's connection, and St. Mary's biggest rivals are Gonzaga, and we saw last week Gonzaga beating them for the third time this season in the West Coast Conference Championship game. The same happened in the women's, but as Australians, we should have been rooting for Gonzaga, and thankfully so, because they did defeat St. Mary's 86-75.
Yeah, well, St. Mary's do have three Aussies as well, so we were sort of in a win-win situation in that one. Unfortunately, the West Coast is really only a one big conference in the women's most seasons, so looks like St. Mary's will be on the outer for Gonzaga. Grace Collette, she actually hasn't played since December, unfortunately, but Gonzaga, they have some really great players in her position, really great bigs. Jill Barter, who plays four, she put up 37 points in the conference championship. So I guess Grace has been a little bit squeezed out. I'm not sure if there's any injury front there or not. I just know she hasn't played a whole lot recently.
Do you think there's much of a possibility that we could see her come the tournament?
It's not really likely. Gonzaga are going to be a 12 seed. They'll be pushing just to get a win in their first round game. I guess unless things turn into a blowout either way, I'm guessing that's probably the only way she'll really see any playing time.
And while we're on that tournament game, how did the Aussies for St. Mary's go?
The Aussies for St. Mary's, it wasn't the best performance, best week for them, but Megan McKay did really well. She had a couple of double-figure performances in the tournament, and Carly Turner wasn't far behind either.
Right. All right, let's change our attention to teams that are in the mix. We don't know whether they've actually made the tournament or not, but fingers crossed we can actually get them. If we look at the Big Sky tournament, there's three teams that could potentially be in the mix. The one is Montana State. Can you tell us about Montana State and Rebecca Hatchard?
Yeah, so Montana State, they're the number one seed. Rebecca, she's a bit like Maddie Dennis at Dayton, gets a few minutes here and there, has put in a couple of big performances when need be. They're definitely the favourites to go through, especially they'll be playing Eastern Washington, who are the four seed, and if they get through that, either the six or seven seed. If they do get through to the NCAA tournament, they'll be very low down. They'll be a 14 seed or a 15 seed, but they're definitely looking good to make it through.
And in the other matchup, now this is what we like, because on both teams in the other matchup, there are Australian representation, which means we are guaranteed at least one Australian in the championship game. The other matchup is a six-seeded Idaho State with Bianca, how do you pronounce her last name? Thacker?
Thacker, yep.
And seven-seeded Portland State with Courtney West and Muffy Loader. Can you tell us about those two teams?
So they've had up and down seasons, but both teams, obviously being a semi-final, 6 seed, 7 seed, managed to get upsets in the quarterfinals to get through. Bianca Thacker, she's been getting a lot more minutes recently, which has been good to see. She's probably most famous this season for hitting a double overtime corner three to win over another team stacked with Aussies in Idaho, in the local derby. And on the Portland State side, they knocked off number two seed North Dakota for the second time this season in the quarterfinals. Courtney West, she has been blocking shots like crazy all season. She leads the conference in blocks by 40, over double the next best.
Jeez.
And the next best is another Aussie in Sammy Roscoe from North Dakota.
Wow, that's a solid effort.
Yeah, she was dead set robbed of an all-conference spot. The Big Sky Conference picked 12 guards in their three all-conference teams.
So clearly they don't care about positions. They just go the 12 players that they think are the best.
But all guards and a player who's blocked the best part of 90 shots this season doesn't get a look in.
Yeah, that doesn't seem right at all. But at least we are guaranteed to have one Australian in the championship game, hopefully more than that, and hopefully still one or two extra ones going through to the tournament. So fingers crossed there. Let's change our attention to the MAC tournament. We've got two teams still alive in the MAC tournament. One is for the number four seeded Northern Illinois, and that is Courtney Woods up against the number eight seed Western Michigan.
Yeah, so this matchup kind of fell into Northern Illinois' lap a bit. Western Michigan sprung a huge upset. They knocked off number one seed Central Michigan in the previous round, and Central Michigan are a team that Northern Illinois had trouble with all season. Courtney loves to shoot, great shooter, great outside shooter in a very high-scoring Northern Illinois team, and they've somehow stumbled into tournament favouritism now, which is great. And if they win it, they'll probably be a 14 seed.
And the second matchup in the MAC tournament is number 6 Toledo against number 7 Buffalo, who we have Stephanie Reed, Courtney Wilkins, Catherine Upps, great basketball name, by the way, and Lisa Upps, another great basketball name. Now, people might remember Stephanie Reed because in last year's MAC tournament, she hit the buzzer beater to take them through to the women's program's first NCAA tournament in history. So Steph has very fond memories of the MAC tournament from last year. So let's hope that something similar can come about this year. But what can you tell us about Buffalo?
So Buffalo, they're a 7 seed this year, so just like last year, they're coming in a bit under the radar.
That's how they like it.
Yeah, it is. Stephanie Reed, look, she just loves tournament time. As you said, the buzzer beater last season. Before that, she hit the game-sealing free throws in an earlier tournament game, and this year she knocked down 6 free throws in 29 seconds to seal the win. She was the one getting fouled, and she knocked them all down to seal the win. She averages 7.4 assists per game, which is sitting comfortably in the top 10 in the entire nation. She was a member of the All-MAC defensive team. I don't know how she didn't also get an All-Conference spot.
Yeah, I was going to say that with her form, I would have thought she was a shoo-in, but clearly not.
That's what I thought. I mean, if you can get a defensive spot, surely racking up all those assists would show you're a good enough two-way player.
Yeah.
But clearly not. And Catherine Up stepped up in the previous game as well. She had 6 points, 6 rebounds and 6 assists. Most of the other Aussies get a bit of a rotational role. Catherine does get some starts. But it was great to see her getting producing a bit more as well.
So let's hope Buffalo can get over the line against Toledo in that game and Northern Illinois against Western Michigan. Fingers crossed for those two. Again, all the details can be found on Pick and Roll's Twitter page and Facebook page. So make sure, if you haven't done already, what are you doing, first of all? Secondly, make sure you do follow them and Lockie's work so you can be all over all the action from all the tournaments across Division One college basketball for the women's. We go from the MAC tournament to the WAC tournament, and we have two teams still alive. In semifinal, in one of the semifinals, we have Seattle with Kaylee Bedell and Utah Valley with Sam. How do you pronounce Sam's last name? Help me out with a couple of these pronunciations. In fact, let's go Seattle first. Did I get Kaylee Bedell right, or is it Biddle?
I think it's Biddle. Well, that's what they've been saying.
All right, I'm going to trust them more than me. So yeah. Seattle are a 2 seed, and they're against the 6-seeded Utah Valley. And who are the two players for Australia here? Because how do you pronounce Sam's surname?
Lubke.
Sweet, perfect. And Soraya?
She hasn't been on court in a match I've watched this season, so I'm going to go with Wainera.
Yeah, that's what I would have said as well. Let's say that. If we say it confidently enough, then no one will question us.
That's right.
So they face off against each other in the semi-final?
Yes. So Sam is a junior college transfer. She's been one of Utah Valley's most outstanding players all season. She made the all-newcomer team. She's averaging close enough to a double-double, 12 points per game, and she's been a real find for them. Kaylee and Soraya, they don't get as many minutes as Sam does. Soraya did have a double-figure performance just a few weeks ago, but I guess if you're looking for an Aussie to watch in this one, it's definitely going to be Sam Lubke.
Perfect. And let's move over to the Mountain West tournament. We are at championship game time, and we have 4th-seeded Boise State against 7th-seeded Fresno State. You mentioned Fresno State before and their Aussie connection. We've only got one in action this year. And again, how do you pronounce her first name?
Anais. So Anais Kervan.
Anais Kervan. So tell us about Anais.
So she was a junior college transfer a couple of years ago. So this will, if they lose tomorrow, it'll be her last college game. Otherwise, she'll go out with one last hurrah in the NCAA tournament as a senior. Her minutes have been increasing, so she was not getting a lot of playing time earlier in the year, but obviously she's shown enough to at least come off the bench and get a good 10 minutes at least each game. Look, Fresno State, it's going to be tough, but it could have been a whole lot tougher. Boise State upset number one seed Colorado State, and Colorado State looked to be an absolute shoo-in for this, and that was a massive boil-over win, and it's really helped Fresno State, who had an upset win of their own, beating number 3 seed UNLV in the semifinals.
If they do make it through to the tournament, do you think they could do much damage?
Look, Boise State themselves are only listed as a 13 seed, so if Fresno State were to make it through, they could be a 15 or a 16 seed, and then they'd be coming up against the likes of Maryland or UConn or Stanford. And stranger things have happened. We all know what can happen in March Madness.
Yeah, but it's never been that mad that you can upset a team like UConn. So let's hope that they manage to avoid UConn. Let's really hope that happens. Let's move over to the Big West tournament semifinal. Number 2 seed Long Beach State against the 3rd-seeded Cal State Northridge with Lizzie Tonks and Jordan Smith. Can you tell us about Cal State Northridge?
They're a reasonable chance to take this one out. They had the bye in the first round, got through reasonably comfortably in the quarterfinals, but now they're obviously the underdog. Fortunately, Lizzie and Jordan haven't been getting a lot of playing time as the season's progressed. Lizzie was getting a bit earlier in the season, but as a freshman, I mean, she's got 3 years to get more playing time, I suppose. If they get through, they'll find it tough as well. This is one of the smaller conferences, but I guess the experience will be great for them.
Spot on. So if we're looking at all the teams with Australian representation in total, which team do you think has the capabilities of going the furthest? Would it be Baylor? They will be the one seed. Would they have the best chance to go potentially to the Final Four and beyond?
I think Baylor definitely have the personnel, but they slipped up before. They lost to Oregon State in the Elite Eight last year. If they can put that behind them, they can, and you know, learn from that experience, they can definitely go one better. And I would never count out a team coached by Tara Vanderveer. So Stanford, they've already knocked off Oregon State in the Pac-12 championship. There's no reason they can't reach the Final Four.
And then can either Baylor or Stanford win the entire tournament?
Well, Baylor's already lost to UConn once this year.
As has everyone else.
As has everyone else they've played. But look, it's going to take, you've got to play UConn on your best night and hope they slip up.
Yeah, they have to lose one sometime.
Yeah, and if it's not this season, it probably won't be next season. So yeah, now's the time to do it.
Exactly. So before we finish off, we just want to go through some of the awards. In all-tournament team, we mentioned before, Alana Smith from the Pac-12 and Christy Wallace in the Big 12. That's no surprise there.
No surprise. Alana really got her spot on the back of her championship game effort. But Christy Wallace, she must have been one of the first couple picks because she was outstanding all three games.
Then if you have a look at our conference awards, can you go through the Australians in the Mountain West?
So four Aussies at Utah State and three of them ended up winning conference awards. So Freshman of the Year for the Mountain West, Eliza West. 8 points per game, 4.8 assists per game, 3.6 rebounds. She had to step up and replace fellow Australian Funda Nofosoglu, who transferred to Florida. And, okay, she didn't have the 20 points a game Funda had, but she did a great job for the team. And then Shannon Duffy was also named to the All-Freshman team. She averaged 8 points and 8.8 rebounds per game. To come straight in and do a really good job to add to that. What was looked to be a fairly thin front court rotation, really just two names there before Shannon came in. And then Rachel Brewster, Mountain West honourable mention. Rachel's one of my favourite players to watch amongst the Australians in college basketball. She'll do a bit of everything. She's a real leader amongst the group. She stepped up to from around 10 points per game last season to 13.6. this season and did a little bit of everything else.
Good to see. And then if we head over to the OVC All-Conference First Team, we've got Grace Lennox of Eastern Illinois, who had a good season.
She was amazing. Doubled her scoring output to 16.3 points per game. Had an absolute raft of 20-point games. I think she might have had one 30-point game as well. And chipping in with assists and rebounds and just leading the backcourt for Eastern Illinois all season in what was otherwise a tough year for the team. They actually missed the OVC tournament.
Is she one of the Australians that has impressed you the most? Or the Australian that has impressed you the most?
One of. As far as coming from the clouds to do something like that, definitely. But I did not have her on my radar at all to start this season.
So if you were saying, would she have made the top three performers of the Australians from this season? Do you think? Top five? Top six?
Yeah, she'd be edging the top five.
Yep.
Definite top 10. But yeah, she's just been outstanding all year.
And then if we have a look at the ACC, we've got Alex Sharp of Wake Forest making the All-Freshman team.
Yeah, so this was great to see. So Alex came in for Wake Forest and got it straight into the starting lineup to average. She averaged 7.6 points per game and 7.6 rebounds per game. Top 10 for ACC freshmen in scoring, rebounds, assists, shooting percentage. And she had one really clutch game against North Carolina in January. They were down 77-75 with a minute to play. And she knocked down a three-pointer. Wake Forest got the stop, and on the next trip up the court, she sealed the game with a layup. It was just great to see from the freshman.
Let's take a look at the West Coast Conference now. We've got three girls taking out the honours there, all from St. Mary's.
Yeah, so three Aussies at St Mary's, all picked up honours. Start with the all-freshman team, so Jasmine Forkvilla. She was in and out of the team a bit, but produces some key moments. So, I mean, she only averaged 3.1 points per game, but I guess if you took a look at her per-minute stats, that would be far more impressive as she came on in short spurts off the bench for the most part. And then the two more seasoned players, sophomore Megan McKay and junior Carly Turner. McKay shot 55% from the field, mostly from around the rim, but 10.7 points per game and 8 rebounds per game. She also had 9 double-doubles, which was absolutely outstanding. And then Carly Turner, really like the most senior amongst the Aussies and also one of the team leaders for St Mary's. Absolutely clutch. She hit a game-winning shot on Australia Day of all days against San Francisco.
That's all we like to hear.
And she had a big double-double in the other meeting against San Francisco. She had 25 and 10 in a big win there as well.
Solid season.
Yeah, she really stepped it up this year.
All right, let's move over to Alicia Froling from Southern Methodist, who has made the AAC All-Conference second team.
She has. When you've got UConn in your conference, it's a bit tough to crack the first team. But look, Alicia, again, a brilliant season. Averaged just shy of a double-double, 14 points per game and 9.9 assists per rebounds per game. Sorry, she only had 5 rebounds in her last game, a couple more, and she would have held that double-double average. She had 16 double-doubles, broke the school record for a single season there. And she improved her passing out of the post and from the perimeter as well. She almost doubled her assist tally from last year from 35 to 63, which was great to see as well. She just improved her game going into her senior season next year.
Now the next player that we want to have a look at, we spoke about before, and I don't want to have any favourites or seem like I have any favourites, but I'm going to call Stephanie Reed my girl, and that is she's made the MacAll defensive team, as you mentioned before. Terrific season from her.
Great.
And robbery that she didn't make the All-Conference team.
Oh, absolutely robbed to not at least make the All-Conference second team. She had 2 steals per game, which was, I guess, a tangible reflection on what she does on defence. But she is an outstanding defender, but 11.3 points per game, 7.4 assists per game as well. How do you not pick someone who can do all of that?
Does not make sense to me whatsoever.
No.
I'm going to fly the Stephanie Reed flag and say we got to get this changed.
Yeah.
She's not getting the recognition that she deserves.
No.
And let's finish it off with the WAC all-newcomer team. Sam Lubke, we mentioned her before, Utah Valley. Terrific season from Sam.
Yeah, so coming in actually her first season in Div 1 despite being a junior, she played those 2 years at junior college. Shot 57% from the field, 10 double-doubles. 12.1 points per game, 8 rebounds per game. She's on a run of 5 consecutive double-doubles at the moment. 4, she was out for a few games, but either side of that timeout, yeah, 5 double-doubles in a row. And she's had 9 offensive rebounds in 2 separate games. I mean, if you've got her around the glass, things are going to look good for you.
Absolutely, they do. Lockie, thank you so much for jumping on and taking us through all the tournament action so far from the women's game. We'll do it again once the bracket is finalised and then perhaps a wrap-up as well of the tournament. Fingers crossed we get to see Christy Wallace and Alana Smith and whoever else going as far as they possibly can. Let's hope we at least have 2 Aussies come Final Four time, but we'll see how we go. Thank you so much for jumping on for us. Where can we find all your work, mate, and where can we find you on Twitter?
All the writing's on pickandroll.com.au and Twitter account. You can either find the links on Pick and Roll or at Lockie Heal, LACHYHEEL.
Lovely, mate. Thank you so much. And let's hope that the Aussies can make some impact come the tournament.
Definitely. I think they will.